I talked last week about being able to give a gift of God to God, that you can make his heart happy. If you didn't get to hear that, I'd really encourage you to listen to that. It took me a long while to figure out that I could be a pleasure to God. And Lord knows I try everything I can to mess it up. But so far, I've not been completely successful. But today I want to talk to you about dreamy Christian Christmas gifts. And I don't know if you were a kid. I've never had visions of sugar plums dancing in my head. I don't even know what one is. A sugar plum, I mean. Dream, I got a halfway. Hold on. But I used to, when we were little kids, this was Sears, which some of you don't know what that is, but they're kind of like pennies in a hardware store put together. But they had a big catalog. It'd be like that thick. It looked like Chicago phone book. Phone book, you don't know what that is either. Well, just go to a phone booth and there'll be one. There used to be one hanging in the, anyway. But there would be this catalog, which is like Amazon in a book. Okay? And you could go through there and we were really coy. We would circle the things we liked, hoping that our parents would look in the catalog. And they didn't always. But I always circled the things that I knew I wouldn't get. But if I ever did, yippee-yay, you know? And you would kind of dream about those things. What would it be like if my folks had enough money to buy me that? And seven kids in the family, that wasn't going to happen, never did. But it was, I can dream, can't I? So there's that kind of a dreamy thing where you're just supposing an unreal circumstance to invade your reality. You know, and there's nothing wrong like that, with that. But dreams have always been connected with Christmas. I mean, Bing Crosby had a contagious dream for a white Christmas, and it goes on. It lived longer than he did. Ebenezer Scrooge, famous for having a dream of Christmas past, present, and future. That's always worth checking it out. George Bailey's wonderful life was connected to an angelic visitation. You think about that. What was that? Well, Clarence said he was an angel. If you ever watch It's a Wonderful Life. If you haven't, you are missing it. You need to watch it at least twice. Even if it's black and white, it doesn't matter. But this angelic visitation caused his wonderful life to be more wonderful. And I just want you to know that now I realize those, Bing Crosby's not fictitious, but White Christmas in L.A., where he wrote it, that song was written, is probably fictitious. The other characters are fictitious, but they represent how God worked in a person's life. And he knows how to get to you and say to you what you need to hear so you can do what you need to do. And you say, well, you're dreaming. You're right. But he knows how to do it. And I just want to say this before we jump into it. We've got a lot of Bible to cover, so we're going to look at every angelic visitation and every dream associated with Jesus' birth. So put on your quick listening ears, because here we go. But I want you to know, if he can speak to these people who were not indwelt by the Spirit of God, they weren't. That hadn't happened yet. That didn't happen until after Easter. And we haven't hit Christmas yet here. If he can guide and lead people who don't yet have the Spirit of God in them, he can guide and lead you and I. Are we good? Okay. Well, all sorts of visitations, all sorts of dreams have taken place in and around the birth of Jesus. And we're going to look both in Matthew and in Luke. So this is the Christmas story from Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. Matthew was written for linear thinkers. I'm going to tell you right up front, here's the deal, here's the load. No philosophical talk or, you know, beautiful pictures. Here's what happened. The birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, not before they met, but before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, I don't know if he told her that, or if he told his dad that, or his best friend, but the Lord knew that he was intending to do that. Can you see that? And he may have said, oh, Lord, I'm going to be a good guy, and I'm going to send her away so she doesn't get shamed. That may have happened. But an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That's a tough one to swallow. So he probably needed to send an angel and say, Joe, let's talk. Here's the reality. I know what it looks like. I'm telling you what it is. And we get so fooled by what things look like, we need to know what they really are. So don't be afraid to take her for your wife, for the child has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son. So he knows it's a boy. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Wow, this is an angel with a heavy message. Now all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Listen, waking up isn't enough. When you wake up, you need to respond. If you've been spoken to, you need to respond to that which has been spoken. And Jacob could have said, man, I need a break. We got all this stuff going. I'm going to be a father. How do I explain this? I'm going to take a couple days off. No, he said immediately he woke up and he said, let's go take care of this. He took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph has a visitation in a dream, and then stuff begins to happen. This is now the story of Herod. A bunch of bad guys too. Herod gathering together all of his chief priests. This is Matthew 2, verse 4. All the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. So again, there is a fulfillment of prophecy attached to the birth of Jesus. There are lots of them. This happens to be the second one. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least amongst the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That's Jesus. So then Herod secretly called the wise men, the Magi. Now these guys had come, you know, from the east. They saw the star in the sky. We're going to look at that in Luke more. And they were looking for this new king. Well, the king who was the sitting king, Herod, was interested to know why there would be a new king born, because that was his gig. That was his job. He didn't want to lose it. So he secretly called the wise men and determined from them the exact time that this star they'd been following had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. Worshiping him was the farthest thing from his mind. But that's what he told them. So after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they'd seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. So here are these wise men, and they're following a star. Come on. What are you doing? Well, we're following the star. Well, a lot of people follow stars and get in a lot of trouble. But he said, we know where to go because the star's got us here, and it'll take us to this manger. It'll take us to this little barn. And doggone if they didn't follow the star and it got them there. I would say that's highly prophetic as well. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They were happy. After coming to the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I never read this verse without saying this. The very first time as a Christian I read that verse, I heard the Lord whisper to me, and he says, worship will open your treasures. And I said, I probably needed to hear that. But that's what they did. They saw him. They worshiped him. And when they worshiped him, Out came the treasures, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. It released them to give what they treasured. That's another time too, but don't miss that. So they present to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream, now it's not a star. It's the guy that made the stars. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, because now the Lord's shown them Herod's not a good guy, they left for their own country by another way. Man, this is, you gotta understand, this is like, for a preacher, this is so good. Because when they see him, and when they worship him, and when they open their heart to give, they go away different than they came in. They go away another way. Now, it just wasn't another trail, because it was, because they've been told geographically, don't go back to Herod. But I'm telling you, something happened to them. And they weren't the same stargazers that came in when they left, because they'd seen him. They'd been in his presence. They responded to his presence, and they opened their hearts to him. I don't care if you're in here today or if you're watching live stream. If you get a glimpse of him when you're in his presence, if you will open your heart to him and release what's in your heart towards him, you can't walk away the same. This is a really good invitation, but I'm not done yet. But can you see what I'm saying? Every time you have an encounter with him, it's to change you a little bit. We're being formed into his image. Because the day is coming when you're going to see me as he is, and in the blink, quick, wow, we're going to be changed. But it's supposed to happen at every insight that we have. Every time we have an encounter with him, it's supposed to cause us to be another way. And I'm telling you, the other way is a better way. Oh, I really like that. So they play their part. They see him. They did what they came to do. And then in verse 13 of Matthew 2, Joseph has, he's a dreamer. I mean, for a carpenter, this guy's a real dreamer. I mean, you don't always associate carpentry with dreams. I don't think that's not, I'm not the dream expert, but I've never associated carpenters and dreams. But he has another dream. Why? Because apparently this is the way that that Joseph knew how to connect with the Lord. And the Lord is speaking to him in a way that he can get it and do it, because it's vital that he responds. Jesus' life is at stake here. Verse 13, Matthew 2, when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up! Well, that's not polite. He says, get up! Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod's going to search for the child to destroy him. Wow. And, you know, I'm thinking, well, Lord, why don't you just take Herod out? I'm already here. We paid rent. You know, I got to get the lights turned off. I mean, you know, all that stuff that you do when you move. And he says, no, you get up and go now, because he's after you. Wow, isn't that what you want to be told in a dream? But he says, no, you have to understand, this is all playing out. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. Imagine getting a donkey and a camel and whatever and going at night. No street lights, no special star. But he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. I don't know if Joseph knew that verse, but the Lord knew what was happening. He said, I said this through the prophet. It's going to come true, but it's only going to come true if you do what I'm telling you to do, so go do it. I don't know if he gave him the verse. He just gave him the order. Sometimes we're waiting for the verse. I tell people this every once in a while. Asking for a new level in the Lord, or a new anointing. And I say, you need to be careful sometimes, because sometimes the Lord isn't coming to give you a new anointing. He's just coming to oil the squeakiest wheel. Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah,
he told me I didn't like it when he told me that. But it's true, sometimes we're crying out for a new anointing, and what we need to do is have function in the one that we presently have. And like the tin man, you gotta have... limber up. It's not like you don't have the equipment. It's just not been functioning properly. And it'll feel like a new anointing because it's just the present tense oil. Okay, I don't have time to go there, but every once in a while that pops up and I see the 10 men. I said, okay, I get it. So. Matthew 2, verse 16. Then when Herod saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, they left, they didn't come back. He became very enraged and sent and killed all the male children who were in Bethlehem and its vicinity from 2 years old and under. Killed all the male children. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Now, Herod's dead, so now things are safe, and the Lord gives Joseph another angelic vision in a dream. He sends an angel in a dream. So he doesn't just have a dream, and he doesn't just have an angelic visit. He has an angelic visit in a dream. Wow, that's like compounded revelation there. But I look at that and go, is that spooky? No, that's brilliant. He knows how the guy will receive from him and understand, and he's doing it in a way that will empower him the most to be able to obey. Now I'm just showing this is what God's like. You know, and Joseph's not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Jesus hadn't poured the Spirit out yet, hadn't ascended yet. And so this is all an angel showing up. But angels are messengers of God, right? They are mighty in strength who perform his word and who obey the voice of his word. So they're doing it in obedience, and now they're empowering him to do it in obedience. Isn't that cool? Have you ever noticed how many dreams Joseph had? This is crazy. I mean, you think about it. Well, you know, Mary kind of had she talked to an angel because you'd kind of have to be convinced. We'll get to that in a minute. But here's Joseph. It's absolutely imperative that he is in on this. And so this is Mary's prayer getting answered that she married a man who would be the spiritual head of her household. Have you ever thought about that? I'm wondering if Mary's prayers didn't have something to do with the angelic visits. I can't prove that, but I can wonder. It seems to fit, doesn't it? So he says, get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came to the land of Israel. He did exactly what the Lord said to do. Matthew chapter 2, verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. So then after being warned by God in a dream, second verse, same as the first. After being warned by God in a dream, he left the regions of Galilee and came to the city of Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. I don't know if Joseph knew that. I don't know if he had the Old Testament memorized. I don't know if the Lord sent the angels and will tell him he's got to do this because we prophesied this and he's got to do it. It doesn't say that. It just says, get up and go, and he got up and went. I don't know that he knew that what he did was going to be fulfilling the word of the Lord, but it was. It was fulfilling the word of the Lord to him and the one that came through the prophet before him. Isn't that good? So when we think about, well, what's all this deal about a baby? This is a supernatural setting. Can you believe all the miraculous stuff happening and that doesn't get talked about very much. It's amazing God came to earth. I mean, come on. I mean, that's amazing. But all of the things that had to happen in human obedience and response to make this thing happen the way it happened. So it's like we don't matter at all, and we really matter a lot. You got it? So, well, why did this Joseph thing work? I think Joseph was the guy. You know, Mary is venerated in different circles in different ways, but you don't ever hear anything about Joseph. This is a good guy. The Bible says that he and Mary and Joseph are both righteous people. But I'm telling you, this is a trustworthy, take care of things, know how to honor God and honor your wife type of a guy. I mean, this is a really stellar person. Now, we'll go to Luke chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So they come from good stock. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. The goal is blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now, I don't know what advanced in years is. I mean, for some people, if you're 20, advanced in years is 30. Right? I can remember when I turned 30, I was the only really bad birthday I had, because in that day, the mantra was, don't trust anybody over 30. That's what we said. And I quit saying that. But I quoted somebody the line from a Paul Simon song the other day about how terribly strange to be 70. He wrote that when he was 30, 35, something like that. And now he's 80. So I don't know how strange 80 is. 70 was going to be strange. 80 is out of this world for the guy. But these people were older than the norm. So they were past middle age. You know, of course we say, are you middle age? Well, who do you know that's 140? I mean, think about it. But so they were older than the norm for having a child. But just, they were up in age. So now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So this is a big deal, privilege. And when the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. So he is having a God encounter. Happens to be the angel of the Lord. Zacharias was troubled when he saw the angel. I wish you could know what he really said. And fear gripped him. That happens to me preaching once in a while. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." That had never happened to a human being yet. "And he'll turn many of the sons of Israel back to their Lord. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Amen. So that means the Lord's coming. And Zacharias said to the angel, "Hallelujah!" No, he said, "How will I know this for certain?" I thought, ode to humanity right here. But you what did you leave out? How am I going to do this? Because I'm an old man, and my wife, wow, is it advanced in years. So she was worse than old. He's saying, I'm old, but I'm not the problem. That's what he was saying. Because the scriptures say that she couldn't bear, that she was barren. So he's saying, I'm old, but she's over the hill, man. That's what he's saying. Don't think that's not what he's saying. That she's advanced in years. She's even older than I am. So, like, in case you didn't know, I will inform you. I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him and said to him, "Ay, caramba." He says, "I am Gabriel." Oops. "Who stands in the presence of God. And I've been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news." Nothing good had come out of his mouth yet. He says, "This is going to be great joy, celebration." And all he could say was, "We're not so sure how that, this science hasn't got to the point yet where we could." "And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you didn't believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." So they're not empty words. These are going to come true. These are going to be fulfilled. And he said, "By the way, my signature's on it." So Gabriel, strong messenger from the Lord. Well, the people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. They realized that he'd seen a vision in the temple. Anybody that's in ministry that doesn't talk, they know better. I don't want you to miss that point. And he kept making signs to them, like, you know, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the day. And he kept seclusion for 5 months, she says. After these days, Elizabeth and his wife became pregnant, and she hid herself for 5 months. Can you imagine that? Wanting to have a child, maybe you're 45 now or 50 or even older than that, and you don't tell anybody. And you don't say anything, and you hide yourself for 5 months so they also cannot see the evidence of it coming. I just think, wow, what kind of people are they? This is the way, she says, the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me with favor. Favor. The favor of the Lord. You know, not every woman that was 50 would think getting pregnant would be the favor of the Lord. And there are physical risks and all that kind of stuff. I mean, right? But she's saying, oh, it's not my fault anymore. You think she didn't think that? It says, he looked on me with favor to take away my disgrace among men. Because it was a disgrace not to be able to bear a child in their culture. So the Lord's doing something wonderful, bringing John the Baptist, but he's also answering her prayers and Zechariah's prayers. Because now they're going to have a child. She's thinking, I may be able to have grandchildren. I mean, that's what you would think, isn't it? So she's effervescent with the joy. Zacharias is biting his lip. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And now in the sixth month, so now we're getting close, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, because that's, anyway, already seen how that happened, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. Wow, there we go with again. Blessing of the Lord, favor. The Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you've found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Like, he's going to be the king. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? Wasn't questioning that it could be, but there's an essential element here that we've left out of the equation. I'm not pregnant, and I've never done anything that would cause me to get that way. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. She who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God. Amen. See, Elizabeth hadn't even told her cousin here, and she's 6 months along. And Mary said, I think that's what she said. But she said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done unto me according to your word. And the angel left the manual explaining everything. No, he said, the angel departed from her. We would want the manual explaining everything, but it didn't happen that way. So this is a great gift. I don't want people to miss this. At Christmas time, and we've had a lot of stuff happen in the last couple of years. I was over here singing my lungs out this morning. It reminded me of days where I couldn't even breathe hardly. I'm going, thank you, Lord. The book says, hey, nothing's impossible. That's right. With God. And I want to dare you to either start believing that or to pick that back up again. So much of what you see around you doesn't say that. I was talking earlier in the foyer, like Right now, it's like Hansel and Gretel. You're not leaving a lot of breadcrumbs to find the way to go. But I'm telling you, nothing is impossible with God. The Weiss translation says it this way: in the presence of God, no word is impossible. Isn't that strong? I'll probably come back to that in just a second. Mary just says, based on what you said, let it be done to me the way you've said it. Quite a different response than Zacharias. Luke 2, verse 8. This is now, shepherds are going to get blitzed from heaven. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. So imagine you're three or four guys out there, and you're playing cards while you're watching the sheep at night or whatever you're doing, you know, and mumbling and grumbling, and it's too cold or it's too hot, or we got to move these sheep tomorrow because they're going to be too hungry, you know, and it smelled like sheep. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, boom, light, and there's an angel, and the glory of the Lord is all around him, kind of like a you know, 100-yard halo all around him. And they were terribly frightened, it says. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. It's just so human. Everybody that gets spoken to, they're afraid. Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. So he's going to tell them, guys, I know you don't know what we're doing here, but I'll show you. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And because that's not where you put babies. You put babies in baby beds. But this was a feed bunk, trough. And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Now, we always sing the songs about angels singing in the realms of glory. It doesn't say they sang. You know what I think? I think they declared and the people sang. I can't prove that, but that's what I think. I think it awakened something. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he's well pleased. And when the angels had gone away from them, like, you know, it doesn't say anything about their response. It doesn't say anything about what the angels talked about. Did they leave a gift? It just said after they left. When they'd gone away from to heaven. So these people came from heaven. These angels, these beings came from heaven. The shepherds began saying to one another, what was that? Oh, that's what they said. Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph. Now, how did they find their way to Mary and Joseph? How did they know where the barn? It just says they did. And the baby as he lay in a manger. And when they'd seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying God and praising him for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Now, some pretty significant stuff here. Amplified version says, all who heard it were astounded and marveled at what the shepherds told them. But Mary was keeping within herself all these sayings, weighing and pondering them in her heart. Everybody heard it, but not everybody responded to it the same way. The Weiss translation says it this way. And all those who heard marveled concerning the things which were spoken by the shepherds to them. But Mary kept on continually guarding all these words in her heart and bringing them together for the purpose of considering them in their total import. Oh my goodness, what does this do to the big picture? How does this change things? How will this change me? Those kinds of things. Everybody heard it, but not everybody had the same response. And that's something we've been talked about a little bit in a little elders stream that we have, that Nothing's impossible with the Lord, the power of the Lord. And I said, well, guys, I'm using that word today. That's one of my verses I'm going to use today. And here's the deal. You can hear the word of the Lord, but you can have the word of the Lord penetrate your hearing. And it penetrated Mary's hearing. Well, you know, it's about her child. You might think that. But this is the word from heaven. You see what I'm saying? Word from heaven. And I want that to penetrate my understanding, to bust up all my familiar ways of responding and say, let it be done unto me according to your word. Yes. And it's really strong. I love the way that it differentiates that between Mary and the others. Well, Luke chapter 2, we're just about done. Verse 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Wonderful song by Michael Card about this. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. In other words, the Messiah was going to come before he died. Over the years, I've talked to several people, I say several, more than one, who believe that the Lord told them as a child, in your lifetime, I will return. Well, that's not hard to figure out if it'll either happen or it won't, right? But this happened to Simeon. Verse 27 says, here's the promise. You won't see death until you've seen the Messiah, the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. I'd really like to know what he's talking about. But he came, he's moving, walking in the Spirit. The Spirit of God was on him, coming into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace. In other words, I'm out of here. According to your word. I love that. I'm going to depart in peace according to what you told me. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. He says, I've seen your salvation. Listen to me. He didn't see a plan. He saw a person. There really isn't a plan of salvation. Salvation is a person. And now he's holding what will become the fulfillment of all the promises that he knew about. He's living in the temple. He's there all the time. He's exposed to the scriptures and the worship and all of that. I'm telling you, he said, oh, I can leave in peace. Why? Well, because where I'm going is better than where I am. And it's being fulfilled, and I know it. I have held the fulfillment of the promise in my arms. Isn't that wonderful? And here's an older man, even older than me, waiting for the fulfillment of the word of the Lord. And he gets to hold the kid and dance and sing. Wow. And so he speaks over him, prays over him, prophesies over him, because he's lived by the promise all of these years, and now he's going to exit by the fulfillment of the promise. Verse 33, his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. Well, that's one of the promises we don't talk about very much. It says when the Lord comes, everybody that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But it also says he'll reveal the hearts and thoughts of everybody. Yeah. No thanks. Skip that one. Yeah. Right? The idea is to be able for them to see that they're separated from him and to take the steps of faith that would allow them to be in the favor of the Lord. But Simeon wasn't hanging out in the temple by himself. Luke 2 verse 36 says, and there was a prophetess. We'll define prophetess. A-N-N-A. Her name was Anna, which is a short for Hannah. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was advanced in years. I love this. All the people used are not 19. And I'm happy for older people. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage and then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Israel. Now, the Wise Translation says it this way: she kept on speaking concerning him to all who were expectantly looking towards the redemption of Israel. She just didn't say it to anybody. The word of the Lord was penetrating the hearts of people who were expectantly looking for his coming. When you think you have been told by God something, holding on to expectation can be a very difficult thing. But the people who responded to the word of the Lord she was speaking were those who were expectant in their heart that something was coming, that he had spoken, and that he was going to do something. I'm telling you, she'd been there 84 years talking about this. She's still 84, she's there, and she's looking for the redemption of Israel. But the people who were looking for the fulfillment of the promise that God had given were the ones who had the heart response to it. Gets personal, doesn't it? But see, it's so interesting to me that she spoke it to everybody that was in the temple, but the people who were expectant, yes, God, you're going to do something. Now, do you know, as far as Messiah, they're looking for hundreds of years for him. So some of these people have been expecting their whole life, right? But that's not the whole picture. The issue is he was now here, and she's saying, it worked. It's happened. He's here. We don't have to wait any longer. And the people who had genuinely been waiting and looking and watching understood, oh, nothing's impossible with God. In his presence, no word is impossible. Sometimes we hear the Lord, but we don't treasure what we've heard. It says Mary heard and treasured. Well, what's treasured mean? Put enough value on it to remember it, to say it, to pray it, to write it down, to look it up. How does that fit the scriptures? Treasuring the word changes us because it improves the way we value who he is and what he says. Well, that's just a little, I know, that's just like an adjective or something, you know, just a modifier to how she responded. But I'm telling you, it wouldn't be in there if it weren't there for a reason. Right. And I want to pause. I want to say the words with the wind of God behind them so they can be treasured. Yes. And I want to receive the words that have the wind of God behind them, so I can treasure them. I think this is an exchange. It's what a gift to be able to say, I don't see it, and I don't really feel it, but with God, nothing's impossible. Yes. So I'm staking my claim on that. I'm standing on that. I'm going to treasure that. Well, why hasn't it happened yet? When I know that, it'll be too late. I won't need to know. Because I don't need to know. I don't care. Right? He's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Boy, if you're looking for the right person and you find the right person, you forget you didn't know the right person before. Because now it's about the right person. When you're looking for the right job and you can't find it and you hate going to work every day, and then you get the position that you realize, that's what I should have been doing all this time, and now I get to do it. Well, you forget about the funky job and you say, this is great, I get to go and I like it, I like the people, and they pay me more. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. You don't think, well, that was a lousy job. Well, of course it was. But not, in comparison, it doesn't matter because my present is bigger than my past now. And my future is brighter than it's ever been. Right? That's kind of that treasuring thing. And I deeply want to see that happen because that's what changes us. Yes. I want to be like the wise men who came in one way and went out another way. Yeah. So I want to say it like this. The Lord went to incredible lengths with fulfillment of prophecies, dreams, angelic visitations. angels speaking from the sky, coming to the ground, telling wise men and shepherds and everybody in between, this is the real thing. I'm really here. I really came. I'm really pleased because the plan for the ages is now unfolding, and now you know it, and now you can see it, and now you can be part of it. And it wasn't just for the Jews. The Jews first, and then us. We get included in this. Up to that point, not so much. But now, he says, he came to be the savior of the whole world. We'll talk about this I got another one coming. But I want you to see, he went to great ends because he didn't just want to say things and make them happen. He wanted to say things so we could cooperate and partner and be part of it. Look at all the people he used, and not everybody that was on a top 10 list. He used the people, I think, whose hearts were open. You know, if you're the shepherd out there on a hill, and that's you're not the top of the line CEO of any corporation or anything, and an angel shows up, what are you going to do? Probably believe it. Not have to say, I got to look this up. You know, I got to Google this. I don't know if this is ever over. No, they believed it. Simple young lady. Just, you know, average gal who had been following the Lord, believed it. Joseph, who said that he was the righteous guy, accepted. That's pretty hard. He had a tough job, and he accepted it. Zacharias, who was a religious professional but a good guy, he came around. Elizabeth was like that. She believed it. Just look at all those people. And it was all in a way that God said, I need to get to them. I need to get through to them. It just can't be, a postcard. It's got to be a word that penetrates them to the point of understanding and response. Don't you want the word of the Lord to penetrate you in a way that it will cause you to respond? Yes. Me too, Lord. Would you release your word to us as we, especially in this season, when we're talking about the coming of the Lord, we want to see and believe what you're saying and doing and have that heart response that changes us from the inside out. No word spoken by the presence of the Lord will be impossible of fulfillment. We just say, I don't even know if I understand that completely, but it's not a requirement. I say yes. Come and make possible those things that have the I in front of them and look like they're impossible. When I take the I out, possible becomes. Holy Spirit, would you be the author of those penetrating words? In Jesus' name, amen. So, dreams are associated with Christmas. Hope you have some.